Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan, and today we have a special guest returning from Via VHS.
Got Wesley. Wes.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry to kind of cut you off. I was like, oh, there's a pause. I guess he's not saying it. Wes, how are you doing, man?
Am I supposed to say this? Or are you supposed to say it? So I just said,
we should have covered that in the briefing. Yeah,
that's okay.
That's okay. When you're, once I'm you're here. Falling downhill, you just go with it. You just start tucking and rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
But we got Wes back on the show when just kind of a funny thing is that, you know, we did. Wes had us on via VHS, and we were all talking hardcore about the Super Mario Brothers movie and why we love it so much, and going on about, like, man, me and Ryan are going to have more podcasts about the Super Mario Brothers movie than anybody else out there. That is my goal. I want the Guinness Book of World Records to say that. I want to be like, Old Man Orange covered Mario Brothers more than anybody else, and, you know, and so on. But then it was like, literally, like, 5 days after we recorded it, it's just like, oh, by the way, here's this extended cut dropped of Super Mario Brothers, kind of just piecemealed together from, like, all these, like, random, you know, European versions and, you know, an early rough cut and all this kind of stuff. And this guy's been kind of working on it, you know, putting it back together. And then with the Super Mario Brothers archive and all that kind of stuff, they finally are like, boom, June 1st, dropping it. Bop, bop, bop.
Mm.
And it's just like, oh, well, shit. Been wanting to see that forever, you know. And the way that it kind of goes about is something that I almost kind of wish that more movies sort of did. Because realistically, at the end of the day, it's like, let's just throw all the deleted scenes in, the alternate takes, and so on. But I wish more movies would actually do that. Because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you get a movie and it's got like, hey, there's 20 minutes of deleted scenes. And I was kind of, in my mind, I'm like, even though this might not be the definitive version, but could you guys just edit that right back into the movie and just be like, hey, here's the extended cut. Maybe it's not the main version. Do the Ridley Scott thing, like at the beginning of Alien, where he's like, well, it's not really my cut because, you know, my cut you saw in the theatrical version. But, yeah, you know, they threw a couple of deleted scenes in it, so it's Alien Extended. Go fuck yourself. I'm Ridley. You know?
And I copyright 20th Century Fox.
Yeah. But I like when it's kind of like, okay, here it is. Like, let's put this together. Or the other one I always really think of that's, like, one of the most kind of amazing things is there's that Mallrats, like, where it's, like, the alternative cut where Kevin Smith just says, like, hey, here's, like, the completely different intro we had. Here's just alternate scenes and different takes and different jokes. And so it's like, yeah, it's not like the main version of the movie. It's not going to be like Apocalypse Now Redux that kind of just replaced the other one, and now he's trying to replace it with the final cut version, but, you know, whatever. You know, it's just more like a cool, like, hey, here's an alternative version, and that's almost what Mario Brothers is right here.
I was pissed. Oh, go
ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was pissed when I saw it, because we just did that episode, and then I just have to say one thing. Because y'all are the experts on this, I want y'all to talk. But I have to shout out Justin Winters from So I Married a Movie Geek, because he shared it. It was in a tweet. And I'm like, I responded. I said, I didn't watch the director's cut. I thought there wasn't a thing. And he goes, no, it just dropped today. Yeah. So immediately I messaged Spencer. I was like, shit.
Well,
I got the Snyder cut. Now we got the Morton and Jenkel cut.
Yeah, because that's almost kind of what it is and so on. And granted, I feel like, you know, our Via VHS version was more like the retrospective of, like, hey, let's go back in time and, you know, talk about, you know, a classic VHS. Where this one's more like, hey, here's this, like, random, in a sense, fan-made put back together. Because it's not like, you know, Disney, you know, or Hollywood Pictures. It's like, you know what, by the way, guys, we need to get this cut out here and put the official title on it, you know, and not like Nintendo is doing any of this, so it's definitely...
You're not seeing this on Disney Plus anytime soon.
Yeah, it's definitely the handmade, sewn together, you know, take of it, but that's... The thing is, like, it's rough, but it is really cool just to be able to see this kind of stuff. I mean, this isn't the one that, if someone's like, I've never seen Super Mario Brothers before, you don't go like, hey, guess what we're gonna watch then? The extended rough cut of it, because then they're gonna watch it and be like, oh, well I kind of see why it didn't do good in theaters. Is this how it came out like? We're like, well, no. These are lost, you know, scenes that appear like on a random VHS tape that sat in some guy's house for like 20 years.
With even the counter at the bottom of the screen, that whole thing. And
yeah.
Well, actually, going as far as adding some music into certain parts, too.
Yeah, well, because what this one sort of does is I think the way that the guy kind of edited together, and that guy, what was that guy's name? I want to say it where it was.
Stephen Applebaum? Was it him or Ryan Haas?
No, those are the guys at the Super Mario Brothers archive. The guy who edited this together is his name is Garrett Gilchrist. So he's the one who's been working on this. The Super Mario Brothers Archive guys kind of been the promoters of this, and that's kind of like my take on how this all kind of went. So this dude's been like working on the background. Apparently he's worked on other movies and so on too. So this has been kind of like the passion project, is to put the Mario Brothers extended stuff back in there, and you know, kind of edit together so it, you know, take some of these things and make it kind of mesh, you know, together good enough and so on. And I think this is like sort of like a first draft. I think he's gonna come out and like put out another one as time goes on, probably just to start stirring up some like, you know, talk about it and everything there. But so yeah, that's what this one's kind of going with here. Just as I said, that's not the one that, like, if someone's never seen this before, don't show them this one. They definitely have to be filmmakers to understand like what's going on in these kind of cuts.
So if I can ask you a question, Wes, so like a little bit ago we were on your show, like Spencer said, and we covered Super Mario Brothers on via VHS, the cut we got in theaters. And you said that was the first time you've seen the movie since you were a little kid, and you thought, right, did I see that movie or was that a fever dream?
Yeah.
And now you watch this movie just a few days later after recording that. Does it feel like Mario movie overload, or is it kind of like, for you, is it a little bit of kind of like, okay, that fills in some blanks here and there? I mean, I don't think there's that many continuity mistakes in the first Mario Brothers. The big one, and this one finally gives we knew about it because it was in the script, and they had the clip segregated. The big thing in the movie is the de-evolution scene, where, because when you watch that movie, you know, they de-evolve Toad, and then he gets up walking away, and then they push Koopa into the machine, and suddenly there's a big pile of diarrhea shit on the ground out of nowhere.
And that security guard slips on it and everything like that. Like,
and in this movie we see, okay, there is somebody with a cold, and then he says, oh, take a seat. And then he takes a seat, and he goes in there, and then comes out, just splats ooze. Like, oh, okay, that's how that got there. All right.
Mm. That's probably the most important scene, I feel, in this entire thing, because that really does explain a lot. Because that was always the thing, is like, when you're a kid, watch that, be like, dude, what's that part right there? And that seat's all covered in ooze all of a sudden, like, the second that, like, when Koopa gets shoved up on there.
Well, not just when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was confused as hell when I watched it the other day, because I rewound it. Because I didn't read the trivia before I watched it. So once I read the trivia, I'm like, oh, okay, there was a cut scene. When I was watching it, I initially rewound it because I'm like, what the hell did I miss? Like, this is important because he slips in it, and, you know. And, you know, that was really, really weird. You see it on the floor. And then I was like, well, I must have missed it. But when I saw the trivia, I was like, okay, there was a scene with that in there. And that ends up being really important to the end of the movie, really, when you think about it. So kind of, I don't understand why they took it out to begin with. I guess it was kind of morbid,
yeah.
I guess, and maybe too much for kids.
Well, because I think that's sort of it. Because, you know, like, a lot of the stuff that you can see that's kind of cut, other than like just little extendeds and alternative stuff, is there's a handful of things in there that would have made it kind of like, not really like a hard PG-13, but like, it would have pushed the envelope a little bit more. Like, there's also like the one part too, I think, where they're like, one, like when they're walking through and you know, Koopa Town right off the beginning and so on like that, and there's that one lady that turns around in this extended cut, one on's like, you know, like, you mother suckers. It's like, oh, well, yeah. I see why that was cut. that one's that's like, you know, everybody knows what you're saying right there.
And like, you know, having to explain to it, like, why'd she call him that, mom? Like, oh, great, you know.
And then they're almost like, a mother sucker almost sounds worse.
It does.
Like, that's somehow more offensive.
Yeah.
There is some stuff that, like, a lot of it, I mean, it's not one of those things like, oh, I'm so glad this got taken out of the movie. Not like that. A lot of it's just alternate takes, which can be interesting. But most of it's like, you know what? If you've seen the movie, you've generally seen the movie. I really only recommend you watch this particular cut if you really like the movie and if you're curious about things that are missing from the original cut that we saw in theaters, or VHS. Now, I do think, though, there are a few couple scenes in there that kind of add a little more to it. Like, not the rapping scene, but I thought that there's a couple little passing things with Iggy and Spike, which I think helped develop them a little more. Like, they're still dumbasses, but they're just like, okay, a little bit more to them. Like, when they're in the truck and they're driving, he says, like, well, who'd you vote for? Koopa the nice, Koopa the mean, Koopa the green, like, So you only can vote for one guy, just in different titles? Yeah, what do you call that? Democracy.
Yeah, I like that line a lot. I thought that was actually pretty clever, because like, they had some of those things that almost explains why there's those giant Koopa propaganda posters in the background that are totally awesome. Like, I know me and Ryan mentioned before, but one of the coolest ones is that one. It's like the Koopa, the environmentalist, and he's holding a chainsaw. Like, that's like that thing. It's like, I want the most ginormous poster of that one of these days, because that is so cool. But, like, the idea that, like, they kind of explain some of the politicalness there and so on. I don't know if they just kind of took that out. They're like, well, kids don't need to hear about politics.
Maybe. I could see him just like, let's just speed this along.
Probably probably that is. But that line, I like that kind of bit, you know. They had some other ones along there, too. One of the other ones kind of interesting, or I just thought it was an interesting take, but I know that they're doing it from the script, is they changed the intro so it doesn't have that kind of cheap cartoon. And it's not saying that's bad, but, like, you know, where it's got, like, the Brooklyn guy narrating it. Like, just might say, like...
just like time some fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah, like this plumber guy comes to class for show and tell, like almost like that scene in Billy Madison. You know, it's like, so let me tell you how the dinosaurs got here, kids.
Oh, man.
Like, well, it was like they were using like some of that like public domain, old educational
footage.
Oh, that was Lost World footage?
Yeah, not Lost World Jurassic Park, but...
I know what you meant. I know it wasn't that one. Yeah.
I know, but... So, because I was looking, like, that's got to be The Lost World. I'm like, I haven't seen that in a while, but, you know... And then I was like, oh, okay, that's what it is. So they kind of had that, and there's no... I don't think there's any narration in this version. They just literally go straight to, like, credits and so on. They're like... Almost like, you'll figure it out, which you kind of do, because I was kind of looking for it along the way. Like, there's that part explains it there, but, you know, throughout it, throughout some of the extra scenes and so on, it does kind of say all that stuff again, you know? So I could see where you could see where it could be kind of unnecessary.
It looked way better.
Yeah, because the animation, I will say, it is kind of cheap when you start the movie off, and I know what they're going for. They're kind of going, even though it's like a Nintendo game, but what it reminds me of is like those cutscenes you would see in like early PC games. Like, that's how that always felt to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like that version better. I will say, though, in regards to the cuts you were talking about, they cut some things because they were suggestive, like the mother suckers thing. I read in that description, and it's so true, and it hit me. And this is where a lot of the cuts, in my opinion, were. Not all of them, but some of them, is that this movie has an identity crisis, is what they were saying in the description, is that, you know, it was clearly directed, they wanted it for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed to be for teenagers, and then Disney was like, no, it's for 8-year-olds, probably. So that's where I think a lot of the stuff came in. They were trying to soften it for kids when it really wasn't meant to be for kids.
You know, and that kind of makes sense. I can kind of see why they're, because they're going, one, here's the thing. All Mario's, you know, core fan bases is growing up now. They're kind of pulling the Sega card almost with this movie. Yeah, I never really thought about it until I was kind of putting those together. But it's like, oh, they're going, okay, instead of being the kid-friendly console, we're going to be the edgy. We're going to be the more hardcore. We're going to be like the you know, the system that, you know, your mom doesn't want you to play. You know, and I felt like it sounds weird that it's, you know, it's coming from Nintendo in the Mario Brothers movie. But, like, that's almost how that movie sort of comes across. It's like, wait a second, it almost fits almost, like, into, like, a Sega propaganda, which technically, once Nintendo did in 1994 of Play It Loud and everything like that, Nintendo just like, here, Sega, we could do you 10 times better.
Well, there's also some of the things they took out, and this is one that's been on, like, I think the archive site, Mark Brothers Movie Archive for a minute, was the one where they're dealing with the guy who, Scagnetti, whatever. I forget his name.
Now that you said it,
Scapelli.
Yeah, it's like now that you said it a bunch of times, it made it harder to remember what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Scapelli. When they go to the you know, work in the dishwasher, and then yet they have the Scapelli guys there, and Mario says, "Oh, I knew him. I grew up with the guy. He's an asshole. You know, he just through subtle things, you're like, okay, this guy's obviously involved in organized crime or something to that effect." And then, so I think it kind of did a better job of making him more of just this bad guy, because he just rolled in for a minute just to threaten Daisy. Then he was out of there, and Mario's like, "Fucking Scapelli!" Well, that scene, even though he's not in it, it actually kind of enforces it more, and also kind of makes Mario and Luigi even more of underdogs. And even in some of those scenes, I think this cut gets across that Luigi is just Mario's apprentice. He's not a plumber. He may say the line, "He is, I'm just apprenticing," but I think this cut, just a few extra scenes they have, really get that across.
Yeah, it's those little things like that, because even when they're at that restaurant scene, the other thing I kind of like is because, there Mario's telling the restaurant owner, he's like, yo, these guys are overcharging you. This is a two-hour job. You know, they've been here for, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, I guess you get it, just enough to kind of there, but, it kind of drives some of these, things home a little bit more, kind of fleshing out these characters just a tad bit, you know?
That should have stayed in.
Yeah.
In my opinion. There's just really no debate about it. I think that scene definitely should have stayed in the film. It just made everything better, I thought, more clear.
There's even a small thing with Iggy and Spike when they're in the car. He's like, I look like I blend in. Look at me. What about you? You don't look like you're blending in. They're just wearing tags still attached to their jackets and shit.
Yeah.
Kind of just a lot of small things like that that just kind of stack up. I mean, overall, you can probably watch. You don't need to see this version for the first time or anything like that, obviously. But at the same time, there is a lot of small little interesting things that I think really add to it. Like, there's even the part with the Brooklyn girls when they get to the... they kind of, each of them has a little bit more of their, personalities defined. When we see Daisy first getting tossed into the, bunkers, more or less. But, a lot of that stuff, there's the one lady who is, the dumbass who's just like, hey, Mario! It's like, why would you do that? But then, the scene where she's first introduced, you're like, okay, I can kind of see why that lady would do it, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense a little bit more. Things were just fleshed, just little nuanced extra things that they cut out. Did flesh things out just a little bit more, but like you said, a lot of it makes sense. Well, they got rid of it.
I think the biggest one, aside from scenes, but just more in continuity, I think Spencer even said this, so he'll probably say it when he gets back from the thing. There is one, the end, and they're all dancing and partying, and, this wasn't in the actual footage, but they added in there a score of the Mario Brothers theme, which apparently was in the script right there. The Spencer said, oh, you're back. Cool.
I'm back.
Yeah, the part where the score came in at the end, they're all doing that kind of Ewok, that yum-nub, you say yum-nub, that. Whenever I see, everyone partying and dancing, whenever they just killed the bad guy, I just can't help but think of the Ewok party scene in Return of the Jedi. But that song, the Mario Brothers score, really made that scene, I thought.
No, I think that actually is one of the best takeaway parts of that film. It's just you have the victory over King Koopa, and then it cuts to a Mario orchestra version of the theme playing over it. Everybody's dancing. They add some other stuff in there too. I mean, you get Yoshi gets to be in there a little bit, even though it looks just like a lady's holding a puppet, kind of. And then there's even, and I kind of get why this one's kind of cut, but there's actually a first kiss of Luigi and Daisy actually takes place at that dance scene there than it does later on, in the other one. I mean, it's probably more epic by having it, right when they're, about to leave Worlds, to have the first kiss, I guess, there. But even, it seemed kind of, it fit well also with the dance part, too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, one's a goodbye kiss. They're different things.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is I feel like together it kind of still worked to have both of them there.
Yeah.
But yeah, having that, I think was kind of neat and so on. One of the other things, too, is it adds a lot more Dennis Hopper. There's a lot more Dennis Hopper scenes in this version, too.
Even some repeated stuff.
Well, there's when he's like, draw me a mud bath, I need to think, I need to contemplate, and they, so it just doesn't cut into that part. We actually see him in there just meditating, and then the evil aunt from Harry Potter comes joining in, why can't I use the power rock,
Yeah, exactly. It's not your power rock now, is it? And then, also, even it adds that extended scene in the beginning where it shows more of Daisy's mom kind of delivering her and cuts those other scenes. You see Dennis Hopper come out of the shadows, he's going to just, murder her, but he doesn't know where that child's been dropped off at. Chased her down, which I think that actually kind of makes it more haunting. And so, once again, some of that stuff, you could cut all these things that are kind of cut out. It does still, other than some weird moments like the the ooze scene and so on where you question it later on, it's not that it's necessary to have it in there, but I do kind of like just that little extra touch sometimes makes a difference.
Dennis Hopper at the beginning of the movie where he's like chasing her through the rain and he does that like look at the camera thing, like it just feels like he's like off brand Rutger Hauer from Blade Runner. Like, it's like kind of what it felt like to me. But he still was awesome.
He corners Daisy's mom, like, "I've seen things you people would not believe. Explosions off the side of Jupiter," you know.
Yeah. Just all kinds of stuff like that. But
Tears in the Rain.
Yeah,
Tears in the Rain. That was the one. There is also, this isn't strictly, I just want to say this because I'm actually kind of like skimming through, just kind of reminding myself of certain things. This doesn't strictly apply to this cut, but I always thought of, it just popped in my mind. There's the whole thing that Goombas like to dance whatever music's playing, so you just like slowly sway them back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't take a lot. How, like, you know, there are right off the bat already dancing to some kind of like, "La, la, my love," that song, whatever. What happens if you start playing like "Choke me, spank me, pull my hair"? Just start playing that shit. They just start fucking right there.
Yeah, you never know. They might just get into it.
Might, and like Mario and Luigi, like, "We gotta get the fuck out of here. We didn't expect this."
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna pull us right into it.
Or what happens if you just start like blasting some anthrax? And they just start running around like a circle pit,
yeah, just
punching moshing each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not in Brooklyn. We're in Queens. What the hell. Oh man.
Well, it's kind of like that. The other interesting part too is when they do like the when they have the whole club scene, because it's almost like the super extended cut of the club scene in this one. Like that part's almost like, maybe not twice as long, but you know, it's close to it, you know. And they have sort of some of the other songs that are like on the soundtrack kind of added in there, and they play out longer and whatnot. And even like, I guess, because you know, they show more of the dancers up close and so on, where I guess that's the one where Disney's like, "No, none of that stuff there. Don't you dare show that."
Well, they have a stripper like in like dressed in dinosaur bones, and they literally hold on that, and I think Luigi even stops and says, "What the hell?" as they walk by.
Yeah, well, it almost reminds me, it's like a proto like From Dusk Till Dawn feel.
Okay. A little bit of heavy, like a live action heavy metal kind of.
Yeah.
I wonder what influence Disney itself actually had on the movie, because they're just distributed. I mean, this is just Buena Vista, so essentially, I mean, Disney also did Con Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, obviously they were fine distributing an R-rated movie.
Well,
like, that's a few years later still, but I wonder how much they actually had to do with this cut at this point in time.
Well, they had Son-in-Law this year at 1993.
if I remember correctly, it was originally, it was something else. I want to say while they were juggling directors or looking for a director, this and that, it got obtained by Disney. I want to say that they had, there's Lightmotive. Is that what the company's called? Lightmotive? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say they're already making the movie, and I want to say later it got obtained by Disney, by Hollywood Pictures, and from there, like, a lot of the things are kind of going out the window. Like, wait, what? Like, a lot of the movie was already apparently, I mean, I'm sure if the Mario Brothers archive guys heard this, they could probably correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the stuff, I think, was already underway when Disney came in, and then they said, "We don't like this, change that. Like, and then that's where a lot of the struggles with the directors came from, I believe.
Yeah, the Hollywood Pictures might have came in a little bit like after things were kind of going and what have you.
Maybe at least before production, and that's where, because that's the thing. Because I want to say as early as the second draft, it kind of had a bit of a sci-fi tone, because they have the big fantasy version of the draft that was a vastly different movie. And I want to say, even though it still had elements of that draft, there was the sci-fi version started in the second draft. And from there, it just got more different and more different.
Yeah, just kind of keeps changing up and so on. But yeah, it's just like seeing these kind of extra stuff in there, all this kind of fun scenes and what have you and whatnot, just to kind of change it up. And it's not like it's anything's in there is really so risque that it's like, it's not like one of those ones like, well, they took out that Mario and like Luigi like sex scene where they had to bang the hooker was the only way that they were going to get the bomb or something like that.
Why don't you gotta do it to get this ba-bomb? Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Who wrote this? Stephen King?
Oh, yeah. it's that grandma from the beginning. With the kind of cattle prod thing.
I realized watching it this time that the world that the Mario Brothers go to is essentially just alternate Hill Valley from Back to the Future 2. It's like, you run into the same characters almost.
Well, they're even like, they're... I mean, when you see it, like, okay, there's a bunch of psychos down there acting all weird and mischievous. But, like, only way you see people act like that is if they're, like, on meth or crocodile or some shit. You know what I mean? So, because like, they have a lot more info. Because you see people, like, acting weird. Like, there's the lady with the messed up face, and she's, like, somebody comes by, is, like, slapping the baby, the egg. It's like, get away from my baby! You know? And then, but this one, they really hold on a few scenes of just people going, and, like, walking around, like, do your best raptor impersonation, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they got a lot more, I'm going to say it, freaks in this one. There's, like, kind of, like, there, and they're holding on them. I mean, there's even that part, like, and it feels like this was leading to something else, but even in this version it cuts, but, like, when Mario and Luigi go to, like, the jail, you know, and they go past, you know, like, you know, what's your guy's name? Is Mario, Mario, Luigi, Mario? And then there's this other guy that gets brought up right behind him, and it felt like that was going to lead into some interesting scene, and then it cuts, and it's like, oh. I almost wanted to see where this guy was going, because this guy looked all raggedy and whatnot, and just looks like, what's his backstory?
It's Wario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even when the one guy, there's the guy in the, like, cage next to him when they're in the jail, flicks the cigarette onto Mario. Mario Pat's like, what the hell? He looks at the guy, and the guy has, like, Exorcist face, more or less, with sharp teeth.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely more cigarette shots in this one, too, because even there's that one Brooklyn chick, like, captured there, and she offers, you know, one of the Koopa Troopa Goomba things, like a cigarette.
Like, he's no worse than my boss.
Yeah. That's okay. I'll bang him, and then we'll get out of here, girls. It's going to be okay. This happens every Tuesday.
We'll take one for the team. Oh, man.
I got a quick question. Now, it's not represented in either cup, but I'm kind of wondering this, because they throw Koopa into the devolve and try to make him go back, and it doesn't really work on him so much, but his eye kind of changes, and at some point he does the weird lizard tongue thing when he's, like, basically trying to hit on Daisy.
Yeah, and the most kind of like the really like the creepy rape scene almost. That's
the,
like,
creep, yeah.
If the cousins did it, even the cousins in this one, they even have a scene like, oh, Were we ruining something here?
That makes more sense, because she just kind of... Because it makes more sense that they come in. I mean, I guess that has darker implications, too. But at the same time, because originally, she just like, ew! And then, like, he's all like, ew! He's, like, covering his face. Like, ew, she doesn't like me. Take her away. Yeah. Where in this, like, the cousin's coming in. It's almost kind of like, oh, our bad. Were you trying to fuck her? Like, just get the fuck out. Just go.
Yeah, just like one of those ones, just like totally, I guess, ruined the rape moment. You know, the creepy Dennis Hopper just like,
man,
all hopped up on cocaine.
Way to ruin the vibe, man. Way to ruin the rape vibe there, yeah. No, I was going to say, the other thing with that is something about, oh yeah, no, I was going to say, because he has the whole thing with his face, and when he goes through the de-evolution chamber in this version, it holds on a minute longer, has a slow zoom in on his eye, and they cut to the eye doing the thing for a second. The only draft I've read is the very first draft, so I'm wondering if there's another draft where sometimes he would switch in and out between being Dennis Hopper and Monster Bowser. Because if you look at a lot of the promotional work, there's that part right when he's getting, like, de-evolved, and he has this giant, like, you know, monster-like grin, and he already looks half lizard. Like, you'd see, if you knew this was a Mario Bros., you're like, oh, that's got to be Bowser or Koopa or whoever. I'm wondering if, like, originally they were planning to have him, like, you know, go back and forth between that, kind of like a werewolf or something. Mm-hmm. But then they're just like, no, it's too expensive and it's Dennis Hopper. So, no, we're not doing that. You know what I mean? Because that thing pops up in a lot of promotional work.
Image. It's either that, or I could also see it, like, you know, if it was kind of, you know, done at another time of, you know, more money for special effects and so on, is that as time went on, he became, it's like almost like by being put in that chamber, it's like he's slowly de-evolving as the movie's going on. And then technically by the very end, they'd be battling, like, Bowser as, you know, Bowser you would know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just kind of wondering, because he just looks kind of like not a T-Rex exactly, but some weird thing popping out of that, like, container. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could see that's where the budget went out, because originally they were going to have a big battle on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, instead they kind of just went back there. And I mean, like, and I think for this movie and so on, it's like, it's not one of those ones that, like, you know, just in watching it, I feel like that battle still kind of works for, like, the level it's going at. It's not like you had this movie where you just had these huge, like, action set pieces, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, and by the way, well, at the very end, we're kind of just going to have this simple fight here in the corner and call it good, mm-hmm. You know. But it would have been cool to see that.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I can one of the things I do remember being excited for the movie is I was expecting him to be more of a Koopa type thing at the end of the movie. Like, I knew it wouldn't look like the video games, because what does?
Yeah.
In the, like, even in the trailers, you're like, okay, this is an alternate take. But I was kind of expecting something like, what's that? The mutant turtle from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah, the second one.
I think he's called, but I know what you're talking about,
I think Spike, maybe, or something. I don't know, but either, I don't know what it's called, but something like that is what I was kind of expecting Koopa to be towards the end of the movie. And like this big, brooding beast and wrecking shit and, you know, more formidable, I guess. But I'm fine with the way they did it. I actually saw more connections to the actual Koopa watching it this time around, not because of anything that was cut, but just watching it again, that last scene, it kind of connected for me that it's like the SNES version where he's in the helicopter thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that connected more for me this time. That I didn't really pay attention to that the first time watching it.
Well, and I think that's always a key thing with the Mario Brothers movie, is that you have to watch it a handful of times to start getting all those little references in there. And I think also kind of like, you know, just seeing, hey, there's the Bullet Bill, you know, there's, you know, the Shy Guys. There's all these little things they kind of got in there. You know, there's even like at the end, I was kind of noticing even this time, it's like right when they leave Princess Daisy and they go back to their world and she stand there, and it's almost like she has a very, like, that feels like a very Mario, Super Mario World kind of picture. It's Daisy standing there with Yoshi and Toad. When you really kind of think about it, that's very Mario right there. You know what I mean? Just those three standing there. I mean, it's the alternate movie versions, but, you know, there they are.
Yeah. No, there is, and once again, I wasn't trying to bring it down, like, that fucking movie. I just, you hear what it was, what they're originally planning, and then you see what they did. Like, they must have been, like, over budget by that point or something. But yeah, I just couldn't help but wonder, kind of like, because they did have a lot of emphasis on the whole, like, eye change thing after that. But yeah, no, there's a lot of things in this movie that just kind of, like, they don't drastically change the movie, but they just add just a little bit more context where it could be, where it's helped. The only thing that I'm like, good thing it took that out, was the rap at the Boom Boom Bar. That was like the only big thing. Like, good call there.
Well, this is the time period where, like, it felt like, oh, we got to have that rap number in there. You know, it's like Ninja Turtles had it with like, go ninja, go. You know, I think of like Ghostbusters 2, because that's always like one of the definitive, like, hey, we need a rap song that like wraps up like what this whole movie's about, like during the credits.
On Our Own by Bobby Brown is the best of those, though. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
So it's like, I mean, like I will say, like, the nostalgicness of like, oh, they just have the goofy rap scene in there, like that, like, I feel like for the theatrical cut, that's great that's taken out. But I will say, when you kind of see it, though, it's like, that takes you back. Even though that I've never seen that before till now, it's like, that takes, you know where you were, like, right when you hear something like that, like, oh, it's early 90s.
Does put like a time frame on it, definitely.
You know,
was there basketball in this?
No, there's not. Basketball.
I was
gonna say this might be kind of before, like, you know, you started having basketball, but then again, Hook has basketball in it, so no.
Yeah.
Well, this also could have been, maybe there is like only just like one brand deal away from having the Nike symbol on the Thwomp shoes.
Yeah. Probably. Oh. Yeah.
That would have been awesome, by the way.
And then,
they threw the Dodge emblem on the Fantastic Four car and Rise of the Silver Surfer. So, you know.
I mean, they
could have called them Spikies.
Oh, what?
Spikies. Called
them Spikies.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That could have been a joke you had for the movie right there. Kind of like, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, it's like
Air
the
Spikies.
Nike emblem with the covered in spikes or something like that, or like make it look like Spike from the video game, you know, throwing the ball or whatever.
Now, how cool would it be if you could actually go out and buy those boots and you just go walk around it? I mean, obviously they're not going to have the jump feature, but like, just to have like the boots and so on. And not like the goofy tie-ins like they do of some other stuff. Like, it's kind of like, those, like, when Ryan, when you were showing me those new Sonic the Hedgehog Puma shoes, that you literally could not tell that was Sonic the Hedgehog on there. Like, that, no. I want the full on. I want it to look like how the character, you know, in the movie or the game, you know, has it.
Well, if you pull the tag back, you can see the silhouette of Sonic's head. Like, yeah, no.
If you pull
the tag
back, you see the copyright Sega 2020.
No, but like, another thing in this film is like the adding context was when. I think Mario and Luigi's relationship's a little bit more better developed, because you don't see them get mad at each other that much in the original cut, but this one, when they're walking through the desert, and, like, they have the whole, like, kind of slapsticky rock scene, you know?
Oh, you mean the part where, like, it's like, you know, every direction you tell me to go, like, oh, how about we just go this direction? Oh, look at that, you know what I mean? You're like, Mario, I want you to go down the tunnel. He's like, yeah, you wouldn't go in the fucking tunnel. Look where we're fucking at, Luigi. We're fucking at. I can't take my shirt off because that camera's rolling. I'm not like you, Luigi.
Did he disappear again?
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Oh, he's back. He's back. Cool.
He disappeared on us. But, yeah, it's just like one of those ones, like just those extra kind of moments. Well, that's the thing about this cut. It's like, it's one of those ones. Like, a lot of it's just like little extra scenes, couple extra lines that, like, adds into a scene that's already existing. But, like, it does give it a fuller kind of take and everything like that. You know, it's one of those ones, like, let's just say if, you know, luck could be had and you just could find all these, you know, scenes in, like, pristine order and so on, you could edit this back together and, like, a real, like, nice Blu-ray copy or something like that, and, you know, if it was all equaled out because it would, you know, but who knows, this movie's probably all just sitting in a warehouse somewhere, like, just cooking right now, but if you could just kind of have it, like, and this was kind of put back together, like, I feel like just having this fuller version of it, like, and, you know, it wasn't the rough cut, I guess you're looking at, I think you could sell this pretty well and be like, hey, here's Mario, you know, Redux version, you know, and, people would probably be kind of into digging it still, you know? I mean, right now it's the moment, it's like, it's filmmakers and fans only, but...
Well, there's a, what, we're 2 years away from the 30th anniversary? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, Blu-ray, steelbook kind of thing, you know, alternate version. I could see that playing well.
Well,
I could see that working.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Was there anything else? Sorry, I cut you off there.
Oh, no. That was it. I was just saying, I think it could... I think it could work. I think there's some marketability to a full extended cut of this. If, you know, but now everybody's seen it for free that really would really care about it, so I don't know.
I wouldn't mind having a better, like, you know, Blu-ray copy of, because all I have is the DVD, which is, you know, good enough, but I'd like to have, like, a nice, you know, remastered, you know, updated Blu-ray for it. That'd be cool. Well, but at the same time, though, you know what? Give anything enough time. It's like when the Thing first came out, it was like hated by critics and like, you know, did bad at the box office. Now it's respected. I'm not saying this is the Thing. This is, but at the same time,
I mean,
I feel like enough. What?
I hate to say it. I like it more than the Thing, and I love the Thing.
Ooh. I can't get on board with that one. I cannot. But
here's the thing: on a personal level. Personal level, I like it more than The Thing. Is it better than the movie than The Thing? No.
Yeah.
If I'm
with you on that one, but like,
it's just science. It's science. Thing's a better movie, but yeah. At the same time, this I could honestly see, like, maybe down the line, just maybe, like, let's say the Mario Illumination movie comes out. It's gonna make a lot of money, mm-hmm. whether it's great or it's dog shit. It's gonna make a bunch of money whenever it comes out. If it does spin off a series, I could see, like, maybe two or three movies in, maybe they start making jokes or references to this movie. Maybe. And, like, maybe a, hopefully, in a loving manner, might be just be kind of, yeah, fuck that movie. You know what I mean? Mm. But maybe a musical cue or something.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not the, because I always hate when they do that where they, like, almost trash the ones that come before them. Like, that's always kind of like, I mean, at least it's like they reference it, but it's kind of like, it's almost like, you know, yeah, we have this, you know, goofy step, you know, stepchild that we don't talk to and just leave in the basement, but you know what, we'll reference him once in a while that he's a fucking retard, and it's just like, oh, okay. You know, some of us actually like that guy.
But I tend to get with this kind of stuff, you know me, I get lost in, oh, what if, you know, like, just thinking big about it. Mm-hmm. I really think that with this film, and if they address it again in the future and Nintendo somehow decides to embrace it, or for whatever reason, it would work great as a sequel to something. Like, okay, we established the Mario world, we give you the Mario world that you're looking for, the, you know, the aesthetic, the feel that you're looking for, but part two, we're going to go to this batshit crazy cyberpunk thing, and we're going to invite some elements into that, and then we can maybe get more than we would have got before, because I would love to play a Mario game set in this world. Mm-hmm. and really expand on it. A cyberpunk Mario, I mean, that'd be so awesome.
Well, it's just, well, now you do see a lot of Mario fan art for this movie. Like you could see it's a combination of this movie's aesthetic with, like, Mario art style type of, you know, so you see, you know, kind of like Bowser, more or less, in the Dennis Hopper dictator suit. There's actually someone made a coloring book adaptation retelling the Mario Brothers movie with, like, characteristics and the style of a Mario game. And they had, like, they made it to being Mario and Peach rather than Daisy and Luigi. But you can tell what's going on still. You know, Birdo was there instead of Big Bertha. There's Koopa's girlfriend. I forgot her name, but she's basically the evil green bean lady, I think, from one of the Mario and Luigi games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they are creative with it, you know.
Well, I think it is one of those ones. Like, I mean, like, the other way I guess you could go, instead of doing it like the prequel style that you're saying, Wes, is that you could almost do it like you have this movie, but then, like, as in a sense, like, if there's the Mario Brothers sequel movie, it actually keeps the cyberpunkness, but also goes more, you know, Mario gameness at the same time, and kind of meets the happy medium even farther.
No, I think that there is, like you were saying, we talked about this on your show. I think it would be cool if they had a movie tie-in when this came out. I mean, it was probably so over the wall, all over the place, and changing so much, they'd probably look like, what fucking version are we making for the tie-in movie game? But I think it would have been cool to see, like, something like that for the Super Nintendo back when this came out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. That would have been interesting to have as well, too. But I feel like there always is so much avenues you can go with it, and I know that, like, you know, with the Superman Brothers archive, they started the one comic 10 years ago, you know, and kind of got that one going, and then they've started this other one, and it's only, like, 6 pages into it, so it's, like, you know, a comic goes by super fast when it's only 6 pages. You know, but at least it's like kind of promoting like what a sequel could be to having it there, and you know the artwork's looking great and so on like that. So, you know, there is stuff kind of coming out, and I do think that as time goes on, Mario is getting that turnaround. It's almost getting it kind of like how we talked about Last Action Hero and stuff before. You know, some people just didn't get it, you know, back in the day, but you know, the people that like grew up watching it and so on have kind of come out and said, hey, you know what, I love this. This is my jam. I'll tell you why it's cool, you know. And it's kind of changing, you know, things around. It's like Last Action Hero. It's like that's gone from probably being like probably one of the, like, Arnold's low-end movies to being one of his like top five in like a lot of countdowns.
Mm-hmm.
True, yeah.
You know, I mean, video game movie-wise, it seems like, you know, you either got to be into video game movies or, you know, you're not. Like, it's kind of, that's how it sort of goes.
Well, in this particular case, go ahead, Wes.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, there's that whole long-running, quote-unquote, video game movie curse that I feel like is just now starting to lift in the eyes of some people. But as far as this goes, regardless of what you think about it, it's definitely better than most early video game adaptations, or really most of them in general, not just early ones, just, you know, with the exception of maybe the last couple, like Sonic was really good, and then the new Tomb Raider was really good. Other than those,
well,
this is,
I mean, like, I'll say, like,
the top.
Now, I'm one of those people who's really into the video game movies. Like, to me, like, I would say, like, I like 90% of them. There's only, like, a couple of them that are just kind of okay, you know. But it's like, as far as the older ones go, I always feel Mortal Kombat's very strong. Tomb Raider is. Resident Evil, if you take it as a very, very alternative take on Resident Evil, they can be fun, you know. But, you know, I've just always enjoyed, even Street Fighter, I like that one a lot, too. It's like, that one came, I actually came more around to that, it's like, with every watching we've kind of had in, like, the last, you know, 20 years of that film, and so on, that it's like, you know what, it's still, I mean, yeah, is it the most perfect Street Fighter thing? No, it's not like Street Fighter V or Street Fighter II, the animated movie, definitely not that, but, you know, for what we got, it's still fun, still got good action, and it still has all the characters, pretty much, even if Ryu and Ken are kind of the side shoot characters, but whatever, you know what, you know, sometimes just, if you sort of accept something for kind of what it is, and be like, hey, you know, you're not gonna go back in time and armchair director your way into this, just take it for what it is, a lot of those things, and, you know, you're not trying to change it to, like, what perception you want it to be, then it'll actually be kind of fun.
Mm.
I mean, shit, I'm one of those people that likes Mortal Kombat 2, you know? And I know there's not a lot of people out there that like that one. I like Mortal Kombat 2 than that new Mortal Kombat, more than that new one, so I don't know what to tell you guys.
I'll say something about this movie, too, watching it again the second time. That I kind of touched on this when we reviewed it on via VHS, but for all the, you know, turmoil that was written and talked about from this movie, all the bad things that they say happened, didn't happen. Obviously, there's different stories to everything, but despite everyone hating it so much, that does not show on the screen.
No.
At all, to me. It looks like Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo and everybody else is kind of having fun. Dennis Hopper kills it. He apparently hated it more than anybody.
Yeah, and he owns that movie like nobody's business.
Yes. Yes. So that is one great, to me, the biggest achievement of this film is that with all the things going on outside of it, that does not show up on screen at all.
Yeah, let's just play. I think they all just play off each other very well. I mean, yes. Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, I think they just have that perfect old guy, young guy dynamic. You know, like, yeah. I can see maybe they're not brothers. In the movie, they kind of even say they're not really brothers, but at the same time, that idea of...
Well, they're brothers.
They kind of say Mario adopted me. Because
their parents, or what? Something happened to Mario and Luigi's parents. You know, they were taken away, you know, and that's what, you know, Super Mario World 2 is.
He was like, he said, like, Mario, maybe he did. I'm trying to remember.
He says it like, because, you know, Mario, he was my mother, he was my father, he was my uncle, he raised me. It's more just saying that Mario,
when
the parents
looked out for him,
whatever happened, you know, Mario, you know, took over the role of, like, you know, at what, like, you know, 10 or 12.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's like, we're going to raise you up right. We're going to become lovers, just like the family tradition.
Look what I found in fucking Central Park, Ma. It's a scrawny little kid. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm going to train it to work a fucking wrench. Like, all right, Mario, do whatever you got to do. Like, I'll get the family business going. Just you wait and fucking see. Okay, that's great.
He's this little Latin boy I found, and I'm going to turn him Italian.
Cook up the spaghetti, Ma.
Son, you're British. Kid? Why do you keep talking like that?
Godfather Marathon. And Scorsese.
But no, I think that is, like, really at the end of the day, like, I mean, you know, Mario, Luigi, Bowser, like, I feel all three of those guys kill it more than anything else. Like, that, it's like one of those ones, like, if you just had them come over and be like, hey, we're just going to do Mario 64, but we want you guys to dub in the voices for all the characters, I'd be like, yeah, that makes total sense. I'm so sold on that. You know, or let's just say we're having a new cartoon show and these guys were going to do the voices for it. Yeah, I'm there.
Well, I'll even say, like, this may sound blasphemous. I know I've said this on different podcasts before. I don't know if we said it on via VHS, but I actually prefer rough and gruff Mario as opposed to, it's a meme, Mario. I prefer, like, this Bob Hoskins. Even kind of similar to the cartoon.
Yeah,
the cartoon, he's kind of like, he has the... Oh, we gotta go save the princess again, Luigi. You know, or I kind of prefer that more than just the you know, Italian Mickey Mouse voice that he has.
Well, because that's where I seen how it was. Because even like Lou Albano and everything like that, he had like the rough Mario kind of feeling, and then it was all of a sudden it was like Mario 64 came, and it's like, okay, we got to get rid of this like rough Brooklyn kind of Mario. We need to make him seem more like fun, and yeah, Mickey Mouse Mario is almost the best way to sort of say it.
I never piece together that Mario was Captain Lou.
Yeah, that was like the other thing. It's like, dude, it's got Captain Lou as Mario. Isn't that the coolest thing ever in the Super Mario Super Show?
Y'all can say whatever you want about this movie, and this movie is good. I actually legitimately like this movie, but the Super Show was fucking, that's my jam. I'm all about the Super Show.
The Super Show is one of those ones, like, you could kind of cut the cartoon part out, because the cartoon's just, it's kind of like one of those 80s, like, let's just throw this together for kids are fucking stupid cartoons, you know. But
yeah,
the live action scenes in the Super Mario Super Show, like, those things, it's like, it's literally the Mario Brothers sitcom. I love those so much. And they always have, like, the special guests on there and whatnot. They got, like, Cindy Lauper and everything. It's, like, so much fun.
It really is. And a better theme song.
I remember liking the live action segments, but I don't remember any of the bits from it. But I could just see there being some kind of like, Mario Brothers, the rent is due. And Mario's just grabbing, like, a wrench, like, all right, come and get it, motherfucker. Come in the fucking house and get it. Like, I could totally see that just, like, in the slums of Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Some kind of, like, Scorsese's Mean Streets type of thing going on.
But it's got a laugh track in the background still.
Yeah. Rent control! Fucking say it! Rent control, asshole!
Luigi would be like Robert De Niro on that, being like, you just gotta pay this guy off. That's all we're asking you this whole movie is to pay this guy off, but you're just being an ass about it, and that's why he's gonna kill you.
Oh, like Lomaria, like Luigi is Harvey Keitel and Mario is Robert De Niro.
So I said the other way around.
Robert De Niro's the... Wait, Robert De Niro's the
Luigi's
one who's
Luigi's Robert De Niro,
messed.
And then Mario's Harvey Keitel. Because Harvey Keitel got it together, and then Robert De Niro's just fucking around the whole movie. And then it's like, when he gets shot, it's just, I always picture, like, Harvey Keitel just being like, see, I told you you were gonna fucking get killed! Should've fucking listened to me!
Now I can only picture, holy shit, Joe Pesci and De Niro. It's Mario and Luigi. That
Luigi,
would be
I saw... I saw you dropping fucking bombs in mailboxes the other day. I know you act scared every time you go in that mansion, but I know you're playing it. I know you're playing because I saw you spit in Nice Guys Eddie. Nice Guy. I'm mixing my fucking movies now. Yeah. Nice Guy Eddie. Yeah. But why not? Fucking like Chris Penn. I saw you spit in Chris Penn's eye the other day.
Oh man, dear Lord, baby Jesus.
No, yeah, but anything of that kind of old school, like the way that they almost interpreted Mario back in the day, I like that more. Maybe that's just nostalgia, but it's like that to me always feels like that's the most Mario. And don't get me wrong, I like all like you know the newer Marios and you know a little bit more happier Mario and so on. But you know, I like hard work and blue collar Mario.
Yeah, I do too. Gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of just grizzled, and he's seen some shit, you know, but it's not too much. It's not, they don't go too far with it.
No. Yeah. It's like that thing where like you keep it kind of like gritty and a little dark, but it's still at the end of the day, it's like, you know, PG-13. It's not like you've gone into R or anything like that, but I don't know. It's something that like, it seems like after the Super Mario Brothers movie, it's like they wanted to stay kind of as far away from Mario being kind of like dark and a little bit serious. I mean, like, one of the only other things that gets kind of close, it's around that same time period, is Super Mario RPG, but then again, that's made by Final Fantasy Company, so that's, you know, because that's almost like the most serious Mario game, I guess you can kind of say you have, even though it's still funny, but...
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Well, that's probably also the Mario game with the most story up to that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the Mario movie in Mario RPG.
I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess you, yeah. I guess, well, it's kind of weird to me because Wes, you said that they had an identity crisis because they wanted to make it for teenagers, but the studio wanted to make it for 8-year-olds. But I remember being like, this wasn't the first movie I saw, but it was like one of the first movies I saw in theaters. It was like I was in kindergarten when I saw this thing, so it's already kind of like it already had me at that age. So I would have probably been okay with PG-13 Mario if it went on like that at the time. You know, just it just had Mario on the title. We're like, all right, let's go check it out. I remember used to wanting to watch racing, like Formula 51 racing, because there's a racer named Mario Andretti. I'm like, well, it's the closest thing I get to Mario Kart, so here we go.
I remember because whenever I think of Mario Andretti, that would always be when, like, back in the day, and you'd be like searching on the internet in the 90s, and you type Mario in, and that guy would always come up first. I'm like, dude, no, not that Mario. I want the real Mario.
Well, God, you know that guy. You know Mario Andretti has to hate that.
Oh, he probably does too, because you know he's like, yeah, people get pissed. They'll be typing in eBay looking for Mario games. My Mario Andretti Formula One game on Sega Genesis comes up.
The one Mario game on Genesis.
Yeah, that's like the one Mario game on Genesis. I wish that was the tagline on the poster.
Mario on Genesis. It's
no,
me, Mario.
No carts
but
needed.
Really.
That's totally like if that game, because I think that game's almost like a very early days Genesis game, but if that would have came out during like just like Attitude Era Genesis, I feel like that might have had a poster like that.
Oh, 100%. I could definitely see that. Mario on Genesis. But real quick saying about that identity crisis, I'm not saying that was an issue. I'm saying the studio thought that was an issue. I mean, we were just talking the other day. I can't remember which episode we were talking about this on, Spencer, but we were talking about how Terminator 2 was an R-rated movie with action figures. Clearly, parents did not give a shit in the 90s. Like,
yeah. Well, it's like, you know, there's a Rambo cartoon in the late 80s. Like, well, even like, okay, I'll think about this. Okay, Mario comes out in 1993. Well, that's going against, like, Jurassic Park, which Jurassic Park is really, like, a rated R movie that's just pulled back to PG-13. Let's be honest. That's pretty much what that is. The books are rated R.
Barely.
You know? You also got Last Action Hero, which is another one that could have been a rated R, but it's pulled back to PG-13 as well, too. But it's still kind of, you know, you take out the blood and guts, and you still got yourself the same content at the end of the day. You know, it's just like you've just removed the swearing, the blood and guts, and, like, a shot of titties at some point, but... It's like, you know that random shot in Jurassic Park where, like, someone kicks open the door and there's just two people, like, making love there? It's just like, oh, whoops, wrong room. Dr. Arnold! Don't you know the power's out here?
What if I had, like, the same kind of introduction that, like, George Clooney had, like, in Three Kings? Like, he's just fucking some reporter in the fucking tent or Mr. something Hamm. Like that. Mr. Grant? What? Like, we already lost funding. What's the fucking point?
Mr. Hammond, tell me about your flea circus.
Kind of busy at the moment, but Grant, we need you on the team.
They're birds, I tell you, they're birds.
You know, so, but, like, you know, it's one of those ones that's like, and I know there's always been that kind of battle between, like, oh, should we keep it kind of kiddie or should we kind of go adult? And I think that the upside to kind of, like, the age that we're finally at now is I've just kind of realized that, like, you just kind of look around, I think, just because we've rolled over a couple of generations and it's just got the point that, like, we're at the age where it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it's like one of those ones that's like, you just see sort of like, it's like, parents don't care what their kid listens to anymore. Like, shit, their stuff that they listened to in the 80s and 90s is more hardcore than, like, the stuff they have going on right now anyways. So it's like one of those ones, like, it's almost toned itself down. And then I think it's kind of like the same thing of, like, movies and so on. It's just like one of those, like, Billy's old enough. You know, he can watch radar movies, play mature rated video games. You know what I mean? And music doesn't even need to have a parental advisory on it anymore because those parents are dead. Or in a senior home or something right now. You know what I mean? Complaining about
shit, Tipper Gore.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just getting to that point. I'm like, really? You give it about another like 10 more years, and I think that stuff's gonna be out of the way. Like, it'll be like to that point where like you'll be a bad parent if you don't take your kid to a radar movie. In that sense.
Mom, I really want to see Hostel 9. On top of that, I also feel like this also came at a time when parents just didn't really. How do I put, not parents, but like studios, like, this is for the kids. It's going to be made for the kids, and then it's going to be forgotten about in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So let's try and cash in on this thing as soon as possible, not realizing, oh, this stuff has longevity, and people in their 30s still like Mario games as long as they're well made. People still like Sonic games as long as they're well made, you know, which is not always the case, unfortunately, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I think that's the thing, is so much stuff was kind of like that, like, that 80s mentality, like, hey, we just need it for our kids for a couple years, sell some toys, and, you know, get out of here, like, making gangbusters on it. That's it. That's all that matters. You know, it's like, I still think one of my favorite ones always is that special features of Transformers, where there's that one guy at, like, Hasbro who's talking there. He's like, yeah, we killed off, you know, Optimus Prime, like... Was it a big fucking deal? I wanted. We had a new line of toys coming out, and we needed to get rid of the old ones. Like, so what if some fucking little bitch cried during the movie? Grow the fuck up.
You get a new toy now, aren't you happy?
Yeah.
You get Rodimus Prime or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, like that guy. I just love how like blunt that guy is. Like I didn't get it. Like, what the fuck's this bitch babbling about? You know. It's a fucking robot that's a cartoon that somebody drew.
It doesn't know you.
Yeah. He ain't your father. He ain't your friend. Just give me, you know, the money you got in your pocket and you get out of here.
Well, even like in this, David Razzie of Technical Dave has told us this. I thought it was interesting because that movie, it's PG. But the only reason it's PG is because they said, like, they had a few swears.
They say, like,
and the
shit,
reason
like,
why they
times,
said, why
they
had him
deal.
Say, there's like, oh, shit! They had, like, say that once or twice in the movie. The only reason they did that is because, well, if it's PG, that means a parent has to take them. So when a kid says, oh, I want I want Optimus, or I want Megatron, or whatever. The parent knows what they're talking about.
You know, and that's kind of weird, because, like...
Not only are we going to kill them all, we're going to kill your heroes on screen, so your parents to buy you new toys, we're going to make it so they have to pay for a fucking ticket, too. So, yeah.
Well, that's weird, because I almost want to say that, like, that must have been maybe only in the 80s that, like, that kind of was the case, because... You know, in the 90s, you could... I mean, I guess if it was PG-13, you couldn't go in until you were 13 years old, technically. But like, I didn't think that PG... Like, cause it's just parental guidance. Or it's not necessarily like, hey, you... It's not like it's like NC-PG, you know what I mean? Like, no children under PG. Like, what's PG? Like, I don't know, but parents gotta be... I mean, like, it'd be interesting. This is like a test. I mean, I know it probably wouldn't work now, but I would love to be able to, like... This sounds just kind of weird. Like, okay, just get a bunch of kids. Okay, kids of different age ranges. Go try to buy a ticket at that movie theater. See if they let you in. Okay, yeah. they didn't allow the 5-year-old in. Okay, send the 6-year-old. Okay, they didn't allow the 6-year-old. Send the 8-year-old. Well, they let the 8-year-old in. I wonder why that was. Or, you know, he had a fake mustache. Well, why did he have a fake mustache on?
Yeah, those Groucho Marx glasses, yeah.
Yeah, well, that gets you into anything. Oh, you bought a ticket to the NC-17 movie?
Well, he's already in there now.
He's gonna come out with a real mustache.
Oh, man.
Have chest hair and everything. It's a woman. Gonna have chest hair and everything.
Bam. Y'all are deranged.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how
we're not gonna argue it. They're just like, yeah, yeah, okay. No defense.
Like, it's like, what's your science like test or whatever? Well, we captured a bunch of children and told them to go buy tickets to the movie theater. We just wanted to see how low you had to be to like ride the PG ride. Like, what's the lowest age range you can go in with that? But I don't know. It's weird. That just made that. Now, I'm just like. Because nowadays, like, you almost never see PG. PG is, like, the most, like, underused, like, rating.
It's taboo, almost.
Because it's almost that thing, because I think people kind of go, like, you know, you got G movies, because you're like, hey, I just want to have a straight-up kids movie, you know, whatever, like, that. And even G, like, doesn't have the same meaning as it used to. Because nowadays, G mostly means, hey, it's going to be a stupid kids movie. You know, anybody over 10 years old is not going to get it. You know, that's generally what G is anymore. And then it's like, and then you get, unless I guess it's like a Disney movie or a Pixar, but then you get to like PG, and PG is almost like, well, it's a little bit
Someone
more,
says damn.
But it's one of those ones, we're probably going to lose all the adults because they're not going to want to go to it because they're going to go, yeah, it's PG. If it's not PG-13, it's not made for the whole family, so I'm not there.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a Pixar movie or something like that, or, yeah.
It never made sense because wasn't Red Dawn the first PG-13 movie, which is hilarious. It's literally one of the most violent movies.
No, yeah, that movie probably would have been R, but PG-13 just came out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I think because I might be remembering this wrong, but I think people got really mad at Temple of Doom.
Because monkey brains and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because so they said we need to make a new rating in the middle because this is troubling to kids. And I think maybe Red Dawn was somehow the first PG-13 movie, which is definitely an R-rated movie.
Well, because that's the thing was there's all those PG movies in about like the late 70s, early 80s that are like pretty much rated R, but they're like, well, I guess it's not really rated R. I mean, yeah, it's got some tits in it, and yeah, there's some swearing and some violence. A guy gets his head chopped up. Yeah, I mean, is that really R? Like, you know?
They open up, like, they parachute down. Russians parachute down and unload on a school. You see one dead kid hanging out a window. Yeah, same thing as the newest Star Wars.
Well, and I feel Red Dawn probably skated that by being like, well, it's a patriotic movie. Because for some reason, if there's a little bit of patriotism in there,
oh,
it's like,
yes.
We can kind of get away. The kids need to see this. They need to be prepared.
Dude, that movie is
going to happen. It's like the Passion of the Christ for the 80s.
Jesus in America.
It's like, it's like all the gun clubs are like, okay, we got to take our kids out to go see it. You know, Billy, you're coming out of school. You got to see Red Dawn. You like the Conan Speaking the Barbarian, right? Well, it's the same guy.
Do you see there's a Rocky IV director's cut coming out?
Yeah, I know. I've been watching Stallone put that together for like the last 6 months or whatever. Like, he's just been like, hey, it's me, Stallone here. And right now I'm working on Rocky IV director's cut. Look at me. I'm mixing sound right now. Ooh, yeah, it's pretty cool, huh? Okay, well, get your wallets ready.
I just, when you say woo, like, I just like to imagine, like, he's like turning knobs up and down. The sound guy just stops, like, don't do that. And he's like, the fuck you say to me? Just looks at him all serious and stern. He's like, backs away.
You gonna say something to me, huh?
You don't want to fuck up with the levels, because you just, like, well, you just fucked up your whole job. You just fucked up your life. You know, go outside. We'll talk in a minute. Anyway, you know, turns back to the camera.
Yeah, it just, like, does a cut. Yeah, I can't wait for that one. I mean, the only downfall about that version is it sounds like they're going to cut the robot out, but, so we don't get Polly fucking the robot in this version, which is what I was kind of hoping it was going towards, but...
Maybe in time we'll get there.
We'll be like, we cut out all the scenes except for this one, like, very grotesque version of Polly fucking the robot. And the son walks in on it.
What'd you program it to do?
I think I talked over y'all at one point. I'm sorry. I thought Spencer cut out, but it was just me that cut out because my headphones stopped for some reason.
Oh, it's all good. I actually don't know if we heard. We may have just been Stalloning over each other just now. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That sounds wrong. You know what I mean?
Just be, hey, we're Stalloning over each other here. Well, yeah, this guy, the guy here who's doing the sound, was not going to have his fucking job.
It's like, oh no, he's getting angry. He's gonna get all Rambo too, to rip his shirt off, shoot a bow and arrow at me. But no, you know what? Going back to Mario Brothers, the movie, the extended cut, and all these other things, it's like, these are always the things that I want to see more of. Because I don't know how many times, whether it be on Old Man Orange or on Via VHS, we talk about a movie, go back in time with it, and then you read some, like, tidbits of being like, oh, yeah, there's this, you know, the original cut was, you know, 2.5 hours instead of two, or, you know, whatever it is. Or some of them are like, it was 6 hours long, and, you know, Francis Ford Coppola was yelling at the top of his lungs that he wasn't going to cut anything, and then he cut it down to 2 hours and 20 minutes. And you're like, whoa, I want to see that. Where's that 6 hour long cut? That just sounds ridiculous. Like, why was he so, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I just wish that, like, I feel like, as a movie company, there's this huge market, and I know it's kind of dipping away because, you know, the special, it felt like, you know, in the 2000s, we had that glorious period of, like, special editions, extended cuts, like, whatever else extra they had in, like, the warehouse, they're like, slap that on there, people will buy the shit out of it. And then it got to, like, 2010, and they're like, oh, shit, most people that buy this never even watch the second disc, you know? Like, that's just a waste of our money now. Let's get rid of all those bonus features and just give them, like, the bare-bones one. They don't know the difference. They're stupid. You know, and so we kind of lost out on that, but that to me is always, like, one of the coolest things about a movie. It's like, I don't know how many times I've bought films that's, like, it's got, like, 45 seconds more of violence in it. I'm buying it. You know what I mean? I don't care. That's literally, like, the Commando director's cut. It, like, has, yeah, it's got a little bit more. It's got maybe, like, 2 minutes in total, but, like, it was sold. It's, like, 45 seconds extra of violence. I'm like, I'm there. I don't care what it is. Like, a couple more blood splats, a couple more, you know, shots of the head, whatnot. It's cool for me.
Not to lead us on a completely different tangent, but I wonder if that kind of went away with, like, because after American Pie, the unrated version, they started having a bunch of the unrated versions of every movie that came out, and they just add in, like, oh, there is, like, you know, one guy got shot in the background, and, there is, like, they said fuck once or twice, you know? Like, that's all they really added to it. There's really nothing that much more unless it was, like a big direct... I remember the Underworld one was, like, actually 20 minutes longer, but it really... That was a case, like, I didn't need that.
Well, that was the downfall, is because, like, the American Pies, they did that, like, sort of, I guess you had said, like, uncut, extended... It's kind of weird to think of it, because that's really, like, at the end of the day, it's almost like the American Pie, director's cut. But, you know, instead they were sounding like unrated, but, like, that one did it good. But that was the thing, is I think too many other companies, like, kind of jacked that up for everybody else. Because that was the thing, is you slapped that unrated label on there. It was, like, two reasons why you wanted to do that. One, people are like, well, shit, I saw it in theaters, but I didn't see the unrated version, so I gotta buy it now. And by having the unrated one on there, when you go through Walmart and they scan it, it doesn't go off as a rated R movie. So, like, little Billy can go in there and now buy American Pie 2 and walk on out.
And I also feel like it was, whatchamacallit.
So I felt like it was probably, the MPAA was like, whoa, you guys can't just all call your movies unrated and have little Billy walking around school carrying around his American Pie VHS.
Even though it's not nearly as violent or sexual as other movies, when Charlie's Angels Full Throttle has the unrated version, it's time to call it quits.
Well, that was like, I felt like they knew what they were doing. They were, that was like such a marketing ploy, because I think everybody was like, shit, it's going to be like American Pie. That's what it's going to be like in this version. I just fucking know it. And everybody gets it, it's like, oh.
You mean Bernie Mac doesn't fuck all three of them? Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, that was what I thought we were leading to in this thing, and then it just wasn't there. Just be like, Super Mario Brothers the movie, uncut and unrated.
Wait to see how Yoshi uses that tongue.
There's that YouTube video, like, Racist Mario. Have you seen it?
Yeah, the Flash Kids one.
He's oh my gosh.
What are you non-Nintendo characters doing in my game, you race traitors?
Man, it's hilarious.
Just getting all hardcore there.
it's not Mario racist in that sense.
Mario takes racing too seriously. Pans over to Peach with a black eye. He takes everything too seriously. My only problem with that, and I maybe they're just more fans of this game, but, like, Kratos is the one to, like, kill him. Just, like, fucking over Kratos. Fuck Kratos, you know?
Yeah. Kratos, I mean, I know we're getting kind of off topic, but it's kind of on topic, is that was just, like, I think that's what always kept me away from the God of War games. I'm not saying that they're not good, but it's just the Kratos fans were always kind of like, oh, it's those guys. It was almost like Kratos appealed to, like, the guy showing up on his motorcycle, constantly revving it, just going, yo, babe!
Blaring the Scorpion King soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, it's like the douchebag guy, just like there, just like, you know, that's almost like who it felt like it was made for. And it's not saying there's anything wrong with the God of War games, because they are fun, but like, I just kind of felt like when I saw that, it's like, yeah, I'm not playing your game. I got Ninja Gaiden. I don't need you. So there was always that kind of like, and it's like, even in those videos, like, that's literally how Kratos plays out in that video. And it's just like, it's that guy. It's that guy again, showing up, being loud and obnoxious. Yeah. But
no, that video is awesome, though. The Flash Gets is usually pretty funny.
But yeah, I guess we should. We go on for days and all this stuff before someone's like, Jesus Christ, you talked about Mario for 40 minutes and then just went off on the fucking rails forever on a
goddamn. That's what it usually goes. Yeah, it's usually the main topic for 30 minutes to an hour, then off the rails, way it goes.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it all revolves around extended cuts and, you know, things like that, and wanting to see more of that, and this almost kind of gives that idea that maybe, you know, hey, putting together the Super Mario cut like this, you know, kind of this rough cut, putting the scenes back in, making them fit, you know, adding the sound together and whatnot, going off the original script of kind of what it is, and having those moments, it would be neat that more movies might go like, hey, you know what? I got this VHS sitting at my house of this old, you know, 80s or 90s movie. It has an extra 15 or 20 minutes in there. Let's put it together, you know? Because, you know, you read that so many times that there's, like, movies and it's just like, oh, you know, there's this extra, you know, roll of film sitting at the director's house, you know, of all these cool scenes. And it's like, it doesn't have to technically, once again, take over, like, the original cut, because, you know, sometimes, you know, the theatrical cut, there's a reason why it is, and that is the definitive version. But it's not that it's not cool seeing an alternative version, or, you know, it's like, I'm just going to say, it's because you brought up American Pie, this just kind of makes me think of it. I want to say it's one of those, like, you know, off-brand spin-off American Pie movies that came off, you know, like, number six or something like that. Like, I want to say it's The Naked Mile. And this sounds so weird, but, like, I remember on the special features of that film, it had so many deleted scenes that there was literally, like, almost, like, a second movie in there. And it was just kind of like, dude, you should just put this together and just have this. It sounds so weird to have this straight-to-DVD movie, but, like, you literally got, like, a three-hour-long cut. Why not just have it just for, you know, a bonus feature? I mean, you know what I mean? Especially this day and age. I feel like, editing a movie, I'm not saying it doesn't take time, but it's not like it's, you know, you can literally just have one guy kind of work on it in the background, and next thing you know, boom, you got it put together.
Well, I'll just say this real quick. It's not really an extended cut, but just to kind of build off that, the Army of the Dead movie that came out, I wasn't crazy about it. I'm not really crazy about anything Zack Snyder does since, you know, a really long time. But they had a making of on Netflix.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that. So that's kind of like they're getting there to the digital versions.
Yeah, so hopefully that's something that continues. More, you know, extra scenes, more, you know, director's cuts. More, I mean, we just got the Snyder cut too, which, you know, there's that thing, a whole other story. But I might not like that movie either cut, but I do. I'm very happy that it exists.
Yeah,
you know, and that maybe more things. Hell, maybe we get, you know, extended cuts of the prequels or different things like that or whatever. You know, maybe a version of The Last Jedi that makes it better.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, well, because you mentioned Star Wars. I know we're just kind of going on tangent off tangent, but, like, I remember when Star Wars Episode 1 came out on DVD, maybe it was just as a kid I misread that, but I remember, like, thinking that, like, okay, it came out on VHS, and that was the theatrical version, and they kind of, and maybe they were just selling it because this was when DVD was new, but, like, I thought that was supposed to be, like, they're going to put all those deleted scenes actually in there and have the extended cut on it when you watch the movie. And I remember, like, sitting over at, like, I think it was Cisco's house somewhere watching it on DVD, because he was the only person that had, like, a DVD player at that moment. And it was just like, where's all those extra scenes they were talking about? Like, I thought they were advertising. It's like, oh, you just got to watch on the side? Well, that's not nearly as cool. It's like one of those ones, like, I don't know what it is. Like, deleted scenes, like, if you watch them just kind of, like, as, like, a side dish, they're cool, and it's like, oh, that's neat, and so on, but it makes such a big difference if you can just incorporate them into the movie. And they can be rough-cutted in. I'm not that picky, like, you know. I think the people that are going after, like, these kind of, like, extra cuts, like, you know what I mean? The movie doesn't have to be smooth, you know. It can be okay if there's a black frame here or the colors didn't match or what have you.
Yeah.
I know the movie company's like, whoa. So don't you tell those editors that it needs to be as smooth as can be. 20th Century Fox isn't just putting out anything.
That's true. I'll say, though, to keep it on Super Mario Brothers, my last thing I'll say is, if all you got in this version, which you get way more than this, was the evolution scene that makes it make more sense, and then the music at the end, which was, to me, the best part.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like such a silly thing, like, oh, it was fan service. No, the music was good. It had this almost calypso sound to the Super Mario Brothers theme, just a slight calypso tone to it. It sounded good, but it just added so much to that last scene. And then you even get the na 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 na. You get that last little jingle too. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that part fits so good. It almost sounds like, you know, it would just be kind of like copy pasted in there, but like, it mixes in like that should have been there the whole time. And it's just,
oh,
like,
absolutely. It should have been there.
That orchestra version of it and everything like that, and just the dance party. You got Yoshi there. Like, that whole part, to me, it, like, really made it more than almost anything else.
There is a song playing in the background of that I'm kind of curious. I want to look up and see, like, if they have it without the orchestral Mario theme, just to hear what song it is they're playing in the background. I mean, regardless, the Mario theme probably makes it better. But to answer your question, Wes, I would definitely take the end with the Mario orchestral theme as opposed to the de-evolution scene. Just because even without the de-evolution scene, it's like, oh, I guess Toad just took a big shit there as he was taking a step off the fucking, off the chair. So that makes it kind of funnier.
Yeah, I will say that is kind of true. But it does, like, that scene just to explain that mystery there the whole time. But no, this is something, one of those ones where, like, if you're anything of the Super Mario Brothers movie fan and whatnot, I feel like it's a total must watch. Obviously, as I said before a couple times on here, if this is your first time watching the Mario Brothers movie, I feel like, you know, unless you were just really into filmmaking, then I feel like you could watch this and kind of understand it. But it definitely adds to it. It makes for, like, almost like the best kind of bonus features you can sort of have and whatnot. But we'll put a link, because you can watch it. It's on the Super Mario Brothers archive. They have it there on their, what's that site?
Archive.org.
Yeah, archive.org. It's on there. So, that always feels like the site that, like, you can put copyrighted stuff, and for some reason it's, like, safely protected. It's like it's like the church almost. It's like if you go in there and just yell sanctuary at the top of your lungs, you get kind of protected by being in there. For some reason, the archive.org has that same thing, too. Be like, it's history, damn it! And they're like, yeah. Oh, the lawyers are getting all, like, nervous and antsy, but, like, they put it together, and, oh, but somehow we got to get money out of them.
Like, when Song of the South is on there.
Yeah, because, you know, they won't, because it's history, so you can lock it up. You can lock it up on the archive.org.
I think it somehow is linked to, sorry, I keep cutting you off, I apologize. I think it is somehow linked to the Library of Congress in some way, archive.org.
Yeah, but some of our stuff's literally on there. That's, like, the weirdest part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, Like the thing is, I love how you can like upload like almost anything to thearchive.com. So it's like you just get people's like goofy like. I mean, shit, people upload their podcasts there, which kind of throws off your search engine, but.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to look through this. I just went straight to the Mario movie and then just bounced on. I wanted to look around and see what else is
on there. Yeah, that site, that's where I found, like, when we did that Star Fox comics, I found that on there, some of the Nintendo Power stuff that you, like, from the magazines that you just couldn't find anywhere else. They got a lot of good, like, backlogs where people copy magazines and kind of put them up there. So if you need to go, like, I need to look for a magazine of, you know, July 15th, you know, 1994, you could kind of find it.
Hmm.
So it's cool for that stuff. Even like, yeah, like kind of like missing software. If you kind of are looking for something kind of old or whatnot that you just can't seem to find anywhere, and obviously it's not for sale anymore and whatnot, it does hold that well. But as I said, I'll put the link for the Mario Brothers one in there. I made sure I downloaded it because you just don't trust it. Like, you know, at any moment Nintendo or Disney could come shut that down really fast. So I'm like downloading it, multiple copies on my computers. Got on my flash drive so I could watch it on my TV. I'm sitting ready to rock and roll with it.
Only a matter of time right before Disney comes at Disney, or actually more likely Nintendo. Disney's like, we never made money off it. We're not going to make money off it. Get the fuck out of here. Where Nintendo's like, they can never know. They treat it kind of like how George Lucas treated the Christmas special.
Yeah. Well, and I think the average person doesn't realize that, like, that's all connected to Disney. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like Disney's kind of just in the background to, like, take money off the top of all those companies.
Mm-hmm. But, I bet Disney even forgets, like, oh shit, we own that, don't we?
Yeah, just like, oh yeah, it's one of the other ones at the bottom of the stack. But I guess I know Wes kind of said his final thoughts and everything on there. Ryan, what's your final thoughts on the flick?
Just, you know, if you're a big fan of the Mario movie, check it out, because it is just cool to see these alternate takes and added scenes. It doesn't change the movie drastically, but it's just, you know, after all these years, it's cool to know that there's still stuff being uncovered about this movie. You know, it's kind of like when Jimi Hendrix or Tupac, like how many fucking things they record? They're still coming out with shit, you know? So it's like, kind of interesting.
I just want to say, I feel like Jimmy has more albums after he died.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of feeling that way with, like, deleted scenes of this Mario movie, because, like, more and more stuff just keeps on coming out about it. So, yeah, I'm going to say definitely check it out if you're a fan of the Mario Brothers movie. So yeah,
it's definitely one of those ones you just kind of you want to kind of give it a go, and kind of, like, you know, I feel the more people that kind of check this out, as I said, I hope it, like, spreads into other movies and so on, and, like, maybe there's an extended cut of all these, like, you know, scenes for Double Dragon. I don't know. I don't think it's going to make it too much more. I'm assuming they're not going to be like, oh yeah, we have this, like, you know, professional martial arts guys all come in and we just cut all their stuff. I don't think it's going to be that, but. You never know what you might find in there and so on. So, yeah, it's definitely cool. Check it out. It's just a fun way to watch it. And that guy, Garrett Gilchrist, good thing he sat down and put all the effort in of putting these all back together and chopping it and putting in, like, strapping his boots on and putting the hard work in of editing. You know what I mean?
Rolling up his sleeves.
I understand as an editor. You know what I mean? It's a lot of man hours probably put into this. So it'll be cool to see where he goes to next with it. You know, just dialing it in even further. You know, smoothing it out and whatnot. And who knows, you know, in a couple more, you know, takes of this, this thing could be pretty darn dialed in. You never know what might come up. Maybe somebody sees this and be like, oh, yo, I got that reel sitting in my, you know, in my cupboard. Here, take it. This will look much better than that old VHS copy you have and so on. And just start stacking it and stacking it, you know. But beyond all that fun stuff, you can always find more of our stuff at oldmanorange.com. That includes podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, and then also you can find via VHS. Wes, what's the best place to find via VHS? I know it's on YouTube. Got it on
all the podcatchers.
All of those ones and so on.
Yeah.
I kept feeling like I wanted to give, like, a direct link, but I'm like, wait a second. Well, I mean, I mostly post them on Old Man Orange, so if you get lazy and just want to go to one place, you'll find them there.
Yeah. I will say it will be a cool thing. You know, I'll be releasing my episode on the theatrical cut when we didn't know that this director's cut was going to exist. So you'll kind of have both, compare and contrast.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a fun little mixed match to go back and forth with. But till then, I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
I'm Rand Dunnigan, and today our special guest,
Wesley. What's up?
We'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.